Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 489. Make it yours. Trust you've had a great week. Hope you did a little pain for a little gain. I know I did. Started something totally new. It's photographic related in a way. In a way, not at all. I started, okay, hope you're sitting down. Yoga. Yeah. Old man yoga. And it is not what I thought. And to say that I'm sore in places is really putting a ibuprofen bottle on the line. Because, yeah. But I know that in the long run, it will make it possible for me to keep moving and not feeling like I'm full of springs. So, hey, there you go. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being recorded again via the Adobe Podcast Beta using their AI voice. You can listen to the Moose Podcast all your favorite places, iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, and of course Spotify and YouTube. You can leave comments, and no, I don't use the AI robot to answer. I do. So, hey, take some time. Appreciate you listening. There's also the transcript. Don't forget the the doodad list. It keeps, I keep adding things. I keep finding things. All that there to help you move photography forward. Speaking of which, as I sip some wine, no, it's 2 in the morning for wine. Must be bourbon. That's it. Bourbon in the morning. Oh, no, it's coffee. Anyway, hey, so I have a RAID system for my images. It's a OWC boxes, and there's 4 18 terabyte drives, which gives me 54 terabytes of space after the RAID. Had a drive degraded. Blah, that just happens. It's not the first time, won't be the last. What's interesting now is that the so many images on those drives that the new Seagate 20 terabyte took, to me, it seemed like it took forever to get it certified, as I use OWC's soft RAID to do it. And then to initialize took a second, and then to rebuild, which is not the word, the actual verbiage they say is rebuilding and sinking. I tell you, I think I could raise another generation of birds on the ranch by the time this thing's done. It's an interesting process. It's, of course, it's my files, right? So it's not like you have an option. And I have backups, right? So it's not like it's mission critical. But I'm impatient. I mean, geez, how long does that take to rebuild? Anyway, that's what I've been doing for the last few weeks. And in the process, I needed to finish an article, and I needed a couple quotes. So I turned to a book that I was given by my mother-in-law when I graduated college that I'm here to tell you. It is actually just a phenomenal read. It is one that she got me this marvelous bound copy that I'm not making it up. Over 850 pages. It's Douglas Brinkley, The Wilderness Warrior, Theodore Roosevelt, and the Crusade for America. Now, it's not all about Theodore Roosevelt. It is about his times and the people that influenced him, and he influenced, and the preservation they started over 100 years ago that we still benefit from today. Now, this is a book that I find it to be a page burner when I went to look for the quote. And what I do is I actually, this will sound kind of weird, but I make Excel spreadsheet for books, and when I it's an old methodology that Beth taught me way back when, the Research Library at Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History. God bless you. but I write down the pages and the quotes, and then I put that in an Excel spreadsheet so then I can go back and find those quotes. So I went back and did just that, and I started reading that quote, and the book just started whisking me away again. And I've not talked about it because it's over 850 pages. It's a big book. But if you want to be inspired, you want to understand a little bit why we are who we are today and what we have to enjoy today and what we could possibly and probably lose in some situations, I can't recommend enough Douglas Brinkley's The Wilderness Warrior, Theodore Roosevelt and the Crusade for America. It's just a marvelous, marvelous read, marvelous read. I want to thank my good friends at Bedford, bedfords.com. Now, typically, I go to the website, I find out what's happening, I talk to those folks, tell them what's happening. I'm here to tell you, I can't keep up. They've got so much going on. They are in afterburner mode. It's the only way I can describe it. I mean, I worked in a canvas drawer long ago, if you didn't know. Another lifetime ago. And I will be hard for some of you to believe, but it was just a Nikon-centric store, which is why my first book was the Nikon System Handbook. Anyway, keeping a camera store going, stock, inventory, pricing, all that stuff, that in itself is a full-time job, but doesn't stop Bedford's. They go on further, and they've got so many opportunities, and they have so many of these flash sales that it's really, I don't know how else to say it. You need to almost check their website every day. I know that what I was going to put up for, tell you about today, I know that tomorrow it's going to be moved on to something else. It's just, they got the inventory. They got the prices, the great people. They got all those locations. You can call them on the phone, go to the website. I mean, all those things that just, and I'm telling you, it's a candy store. It's just a photographic candy store. So thank my good friends at Bedford for sponsoring the Moose Podcast, and head their way. They have got the goodies. As we move forward in our photographic career, or we just start out, one thing that there's just not an obvious, just point blank, simplistic course to follow, we start looking for examples in which we can follow and hopefully will give us direction to our own photography. That's the natural course. And I can understand that. I did it. Photoshop. You know, I started using Photoshop long before the world knew about Photoshop. But I went to Kelby once, what used to be called the Photoshop National Association for Photograph. National Association for Photoshop Professionals, NAP. Started going to Scott's NAP website, which, and this is back in the 90s. Things weren't the same as today. Wasn't like video tutorials back then. And then I started going to the conferences. Then I started taking what I learned and applying them to my own photography. But I'm different, man. Because I go to these classes, which, in all honesty, have nothing to do with what I think I'm doing, just to find that one or two nuggets. And those are the nuggets that I try to embrace, make my own, and then share with you. And that's what it's all about. Make it yours. In the digital age, it doesn't make a difference if it's last year, this year, next year. There's lots of, as my dear friend Julian Koss would say, a lot of dark side, dark entities to tempt you, to take you that direction. And dark doesn't mean evil and go to hell. It just means it takes you off your course and making it yours. Now, it is natural, and I do it. I look at somebody's technique, or I look at somebody's photograph, and this goes back to when I was at Brooks, and every week we spend hours and hours looking at magazines and books, to get inspiration. Then we back engineer how that happened. We still do that today. And we try to figure it out. And then in that process, we start copying what we find because we like it. And we start successfully implementing it. Here's the problem. And I think it's big. And I'm seeing it more and more. Is that we are taking the others' ideas, concepts, techniques, tools, and implementing them, but we're not making it ours. We're just copying them. And yes, I know imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Blah, 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 blah. Imitation is the greatest way to never grow, as far as I am concerned. I've had many a photographer, and I'm very humbled and honored they try to emulate what I do. But the thing is, they're not me. And what I'm going to say is, when you copy and successfully implement what some other photographer's done, you're not you. You're just a copy of that other artist, creator, photographer, whatever it happens to be. One of the problems I have with AI is it's trying to make us all homogenous and all, you know, the same. And that's not how the world turns. That if we're all the same, why would we ever gather at a table and share a meal together when we're all going to say the same thing with the same thoughts? Talk about a snooze fest. No, we're all individuals. We're all different. Does that mean we should stop looking at others' works for inspiration? Not one frickin' moment. What we need to do is real simple, yet so bloody hard, is to listen to those things and embrace those things that we think will work for us and disregard all the rest. We need to make it ours. You need to make it yours. Someone else's technique, their trick, their geek out is great. It gives us inspirations, but it's still someone else's. It's not our own. I mean, watching others for small nuggets, it's what you got to do. I could tell you for a fact that right now, for myself, I am right there with the rest of you in that process. For example, shooting with the ZR now. It is, as I mentioned a few times on the blog post, it is in some ways just this incredible, almost carbon copy what I do as a still photographer. And in the same breath, it is so bloody different that I get a nosebleed and I fall down dizzy. So I've been turning to folks like to Brendan Talbot and some other really creative people and reaching out for help and guidance, understand what's going on. Now, those folks in the video world, they have kind of done, for lack of better terms, what Moose has done and figured out what works for them in the video realm. And they share it. But the thing is, it's not all 100% what I would do. But there's a lot of stuff that's just great nuggets. That's what we have to go out and pan for and pull those out and leave all the rest of sand and gravel to go down the slough and then just move forward. And then we know we've hit gold. And that's a really hard process. I mean, when you don't know, you don't know what you don't know. And at the same time, you don't understand what you don't understand because you don't understand. I mean, it's a round robin, but that's the process. It's, if you make it yours, if you understand yourself, boy, right? There's a whole, 10 years of a podcast, right? My podcast. If you don't know yourself, where do you start? Where do you start? The first thing is when you get a photograph and you have followed someone else's techniques, however you did it, and you have a photograph just like that person's, you say, okay, I am totally successful. And then you need to say, okay, I have totally failed because I have not stayed true to myself. And that's the biggest problem, is admitting that we failed because we haven't stayed true to yourself. I mean, right now it's really easy to take a subject and completely take it off of its world, its background, put it on some other background, and make it look like that's the photograph. I say it's easy, but boy, you can sure tell when, because it's so screwed up most of the time. A valid technique, but make it yours. Visual depth, light, depth of focus, all those things still come into play. Just because you followed someone else's technique and successful does not make it a winning photograph. Period. You've got to make it yours. You have got to make it yours. It's been a grand week, folks. You take care. Remember, you can click on those links if you ever need help. I'm here to help you any way I can. Seriously, you're not bothering me. That's why I'm putting this out there. You don't have to give me a penny. Just give me some love, and I'm all yours. You folks have a great week. And remember to make every click your story.